Enjoyed that very much. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles tonight to John chapter 12. And John chapter 12. When I was growing up, I never attended a candlelight service. I don't ever remember attending one. I think about 8 years ago, we started having them here at the church. And I just want to be real honest with you. I've never attended another candlelight service. So I don't know what other churches do. I have no clue. I know what the light represents. I know what the message was meant, and when Jesus Christ was the light of the world, and therefore we're just going to stick with it, and with what the Bible talks about when it talks about the light. In John chapter 12, verse 46, John chapter 12, verse 46, and look at verse 44. Jesus cried and saying, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." I think Jesus Christ claimed to be God. Everybody with me? "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." I am come a light into the world. Jesus Christ said he's the light of the world. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this wonderful illustration of how the Lord is the light, and we are to be the light. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And we know there in 1 John he's comparing light with darkness, and that those who are evil shun the darkness, and Christ is the light, therefore they shun him and flee from him. But Christ is claimed and was the light of the world. One of the best illustrations of this found throughout the Old and New Testament. So I'm going to take just a little time. I promised to get you out of here at a certain time this morning, so we're going to try to stay with it. But we preach a lot on the glory of God, that term, glory of God. That the term means who and what God is. That the term is found 500 times, or at least the word glory is, and the glory of God is found 500 times in the Bible. So it's pretty important when you think. So the term glory of God is the God who expresses himself. Who and what God is. The God who expresses himself. In other words, God wants us to know him. God wants us to know him. And therefore, he's expressed himself in many various ways. And one of the ways in which he's expressed himself throughout the Bible is light. Is light. We're not saying that God specifically is light. We're not pantheistic in the ideal. But we're saying God expresses himself as light. And that light is a picture of purity and a picture of these things. So God has done so, and he's done so throughout the Bible. One of the things Brother Stewart did with us years ago is he took and started in the book of Revelation and backed up throughout the Bible to show us how that God has expressed himself by way of light. So just listen real quickly. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, the Bible says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." When we get to heaven, there'll be no need for the moon or the sun. Jesus Christ will be the light thereof. And notice again that term, "For the glory of God did lighten it." In Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, there John is on the Isle of Patmos. And he says, describing the Lord, he says, "And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." When he stood and he looked, he beheld the Lord, and he was bright as if it was the 12 o'clock noon, and the sun was out as bright as it could be. That's what he saw and when he saw the Lord. And again, we could turn to various ones of these, but Saul on the road to Damascus. Remember Saul, who the Bible says was breathing out threatenings against the church and was persecuting the church, and in fact had just stoned Stephen, one of the deacons of the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem. And there Saul is on his way to Damascus to again threaten the church and to bound and chain these Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem. And on his way to Damascus, the Lord came to him. The Bible says the Lord stopped him there, and when the Lord appeared to him, it was as a light. In fact, he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And the light was as bright as the sun. And that's how he appeared unto Saul. So we know he's continued to do that there in the New Jerusalem, there on the Isle of Patmos, there on the road to Damascus. And we know the Mount of Transfiguration, when He allowed His glory to shine there, and as bright and as a light. And then the Star of Bethlehem. Now we can suppose what it was. We absolutely will say definitely that it was not something that can be proved scientifically. I get that all the time. I was reading here recently about, well, this one comet came through and blah, blah, blah. That's a bunch of hooey, okay? It's a bunch of nonsense. That's a better way to put it. And no, this was a special star, a special light that abode over the place in which Christ was born. And I believe it was the Shekinah glory. I believe that's the same Shekinah glory that appeared in the Old Testament there in the temple. When the tabernacle was built, the Bible says God came down and he dwelt between the cherubs. Everybody understand? When he built the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant was placed in there, on top of the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. Had the two angels facing each other with their wings facing each other. And between those two wings, between those two cherubs, the Shekinah glory dwelt there. God literally, by way of a light, dwelt in the tabernacle, physically dwelt there. Amen? That's Bible. You can read it. And then later on, when Solomon finished the temple, the Bible says, and I'll read that for you. It says, now when Solomon made an end of praying, talking about the dedication of the temple, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. That glory of God, that light filled the house. They couldn't go in. It's an awesome thought that as we think about backing through from the Isle of Patmos to the road to Damascus, again, we think about the Mount of Transfiguration, think about the star. By the way, that star, it says in Matthew chapter 2, it says, they seen his star in the east. In verse 9 it says, the star went before them till it came and rose. Sounds like to me, the star helped them get there. Sounds like to me that if a star is going to help you find a particular house, that star would have to be a point of light pretty close to the house. It couldn't be in the general area, right? Maybe they did ask around. Maybe it wasn't right on top of it. Maybe they asked around about particular whatever. But I believe it's right there on top of the house, right there. Here it is. Arrows. This light. We know that God appeared there in the temple, and God appeared in the wilderness. A fire by day and a cloud by night. Fire by night, a cloud by day. The tabernacle, the Mount Sinai to Moses. So if you back all the way up, and my intent tonight is not to do an in-depth study, but Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And that first day it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 3. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening morning were the first day. But you go down to the fourth day, and it says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs and for season, for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars. I love how he just kind of adds that on. And he made the stars also. Yeah. So God made the sun and the moon and the stars on the fourth day. But yet there was a light there on the first day. The Hebrew word for light on that first day is different than the Hebrew word used on day four. The Hebrew word used on day one is luminous. It's a point of light. Whereas on day four, the Hebrew word used means luminary body. So there is a difference in which the Hebrew gives to the definition of that particular word. And so I'm not saying tonight absolutely that this is true, but I do believe, I personally believe, And I believe that we see it throughout the Old Testament, in which Christ appeared by way of theophanies. Christ appeared to Joshua. Christ appeared to Abraham. I'm talking about the Old Testament now. Christ, the angel of the Lord, Christ appeared to Gideon. Christ appeared, and you can just go throughout the Old Testament and see where Christ appeared to various patriarchs, various men of God, and all the way back. It says that God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He walked with them. He fellowshiped with them. And so my thought, or the thought is, that Christ was there on the first day. We know he was. Because John chapter 1, listen very closely, says, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W-O-R-D, "and the Word was with God, the same was in the beginning with God." And then it says, in verse 3, it says, "And all things were made by him," in reference to Jesus, not in reference to God, the Father, in reference to Jesus, the Savior. You go back and read it, it's very, very clear. Colossians says the same thing. Hebrews says the same thing. That Jesus Christ was the agent, if you would, that God used to create the worlds, to bring the, call the world into existence. I believe had you been there on that very first day of creation, I believe that Christ would have been there. The voice you would have heard from heaven, of course, is God's voice, but Jesus Christ, "Let there be light." I think it's a deep voice too. And that light-giving body, that point of light on the first day, would have been Jesus. It was definitely different than day 4. And whatever you want to propose that it was, that's up to you. But evidence in the Scripture, as you work your way back from Revelation, back to Genesis, would show us that God has continuously shown forth himself as light. And therefore, on the day 1, he says, "Let there be light," and he manifested his glory on that very first day. And for the first 3 days, it was Christ there, that theophany, showing forth his glory, expressing himself by way of light. So, when we come to John chapter 12, verse 46, and he says, "I am come a light into the world," what a wonderful illustration. At the very least, we can go back to Genesis chapter 1 and say this is a wonderful illustration of Christ and how that he is the light of the world and may have been physically, literally, the light of the world the first 3 days. Isn't that awesome? I don't know, some of you may have seen that, some of you may have not. And Christ is indeed the light of the world. John chapter 8 and verse 12, you can go back just a couple of chapters. Jesus says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus Christ, again, the light of the world. What does it mean to have the light of life? It means eternal life. Life is found in Jesus Christ. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." We find eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is a wonderful light, a wonderful light, showing forth a manifestation of who God is. He is the chief agent by which God manifests himself to us and by which God expresses himself to us. It is through Christ we learn of God. Amen? It is his vehicle. We also think of Christ being a general light in that the Son, S-U-N, serves all. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ came to save all? By the way, the sun is free. You have to pay for sunlight. Salvation is free. Oh, there's so many of these would be applicable. By the way, the sun is necessary. If you don't have the sun, nothing grows. I had the opportunity here recently to go into a sinkhole, a cenote down in Mexico, to go down inside of it and to swim inside of it. And it was a big cave. You went back into this cave, and the guide I was with turned the lights off. He said, "Hey, turn your flashlight off." And we were in the water. And he said, "Turn the lights off." Man, it was dark. I mean, not a lot. You couldn't see your face. I mean, hand before your face, nothing. He said, "Turn it back on." And he showed me a couple of fish in the water. He says, "Look at these fish." He says, "These fish are blind. They can't see." One of the fish was translucent. They'd never seen light. You know, to a certain extent, says some flashlights. It's just amazing how necessary light is for any type of animal to to succeed. They had blemishes, being blind because there was no light. I'm telling you, light is necessary. Light is necessary for existence, and light is necessary. The Lord is necessary for eternal salvation. Jesus said to Nicodemus, as I said this morning, you must be born again. Hope this evening you know that you're saved. Again, it's free. It's a free gift that Jesus Christ gives to us by way of his life, his death, and his resurrection. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. Various passages we could turn to. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, and this will be our last passage to turn to here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Like I said, the message or the truth being conveyed by Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, is that he is a dispeller of darkness. Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad that he is the dispeller of darkness. And we live in a dark world. And by the way, Philippians tells us we ought to shine as lights in this dark world, in this crooked and perverse nation in which we live, that we should shine as lights. And that's the message tonight. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And I just see him there on the very first day as he calls the world into existence, as he creates that very first body that doesn't really have form or void. In other words, it wasn't round yet. The Holy Spirit came and moved upon the face of the waters. It began to be, you know, a sphere. And then Jesus Christ said, let there be light. And light came upon the sphere and began to rotate. Day and night. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. As he was the light of the world on the first day physically, so is he the light of the world today spiritually. He is the light of the world. Then he says to us, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. By the way, we're not the sun in this illustration. We're the moon. We're to be a reflector of the light. We're not the greater lights. We're the lesser lights. There's an old psalm that says, let the lower lights be burning. Talking about those little lights where the lighthouse was setting. They would set little lights along the shore as well. I always think about the little lights that used to be very popular, not as popular anymore, but little lights that you put on the sidewalks, you know, and they had the little solar panel on top, and you didn't have to plug it in or nothing. Little bit, barely gave off any light. And in comparison to the sun, we are a lot lesser light. But we're to be a light, and we're not to hide it under a bushel, right? And so that's the illustration tonight, as we think about being a light in the world. So as we think about that tonight, we're going to set a light off in here, and I still think it's amazing, and I'll point this out 1,000 times, that in a big room like this, this room is, you know, it's roughly 80 feet long, 100 feet wide, a little over 100 feet wide, with this big roof, big ceiling in it. I still, every time I walk around the corner, I'm amazed. I just can't get over the building, but been here almost 4 years, but still can't get over it. And a little over 4 years, actually. And just, it's awesome. But what one light will do, what one light will do is an amazing, amazing thing. We go ahead and turn the lights off. Everybody ready? So some of your kids, you might want to hold close. We'll turn the lights off and we'll start. And I'm going to say a few words as I make my way. And I'm telling you, that's dark. I have to do this without falling and dying. It's amazing how quickly, though. Like the light on the piano. Oops. I would... go over there and turn that off, but I don't know how. Oh, Brother Feaser's on it. Yeah, the illustration doesn't work good if we have a light up by the piano. Yeah, I think, hang on, let me try this. Nope. Clap on, clap off. It didn't work. Clap on, clap off. The clapper. Miss Bobby liked that one. I heard her laugh. I can't see her, but I heard her laugh. Some of the visitors are going like, what in the world's going on here tonight? Everybody's still questioning it. We'll see if this mic works good. I'm going to go over here to the right somewhere. I'll have to light this for a minute because I can't see nobody. All right, I'm going to stand right here for a second. Everybody's still good? Nobody's afraid? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Then he says, you are the lights of the world. And we're to be a light to those around us. We got the new year coming up next Sunday. We are to be a reflector of the light of the Lord. I'm glad that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship with Jesus. And honestly, we need to remember that Christianity is not just living up to a set of rules. That's not what it's about. It's about having a personal relationship with Jesus. As we have this personal relationship with Jesus, the Bible describes as we grow in the Lord that our light begins to shine. Well, our light begins to shine at salvation, but it begins to shine brighter as we develop this relationship with Jesus. So we think about the first light being lit tonight. We think about just the point of salvation. And we're not saying Brother Cook's getting saved tonight. He's been saved a while. But he is the light. And I tell you, if you give this just a few minutes, those on the other side of the auditorium will be able to see that light. It's amazing what one light will do. Don't light another one yet. So just hold that one up and wait till the wax comes down your arm. Again, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He says, then ye are the lights of the world. And we are to be a reflector of his light. We're to be selfless. We're to be kind. We're to be gracious. We're not to be sissies. Meek, him being meek does not mean he was a sissy. It means he had power under control, that he was able to be an influence among men. In fact, the Bible says, they said of him that no one spoke with authority like he did. Jesus Christ was a man among men. Jesus Christ was a light in a dark and lonely time. I'm telling you, we live in dark days. We need to be a light. We need to be a light at the workplace. We need to be a light in our neighborhood. We need to be a light to our kinfolks here at Christmas as we celebrate Christmas and the birth of Jesus. We need to be a light. And that's what Jesus is saying. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Don't hide it under a basket, but let it shine brightly. By the way, that light shining brightly by us, it comes with consequences sometimes. You know, sometimes people are going to make fun of you. I've used this illustration 1,000 times, but they used to call my brother in high school Dippy Dan the Holy Man because he lived right. He didn't go to parties, and he just did the right thing. Let us continue to be a light. Amen? So just that one light. Everybody's lights, eyes are pretty adjusted, and I mean, if you wanted to, you could make your way to that exit, couldn't you? Even way over here, though I can't see you. I know I'm close. Go ahead, Brother Kevin. And so we light one over here. Again, it's amazing how it is. So we're going to start on that side and work this way. So, Brother Randy, if you would start lighting those around you. Start lighting those people around you. Brother Cook. It's not Randy, sorry. Do you have one? And I was starting that side because it's where most of the people are at, but amazing how those of us on this side, how quickly it lights up. It's just what one light will do is an amazing thing. Your light at work will have an influence on those around you. Your light in your neighborhood will have influence around you. You say, well, I'm the only one. Teenagers, listen, sometimes in school you're the only one. Sometimes you're the only one, but you can still be an influence just by being that one light. At workplace, you can be an influence. You really can. If you own a business, if you're a foreman, well, you can be a light. You can be a light. If you're the guy on the assembly line, you can be a light. I think about, you know how many people are working at Amazon right now? It's like 8,000, I heard. You know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's like 6,000 or 7,000 during the Christmas peak season. People working over there. Well, we need influences there. I know some of you work there. Be an influence to those around you. I am the light of the world. Secondly, Heritage Baptist Church needs to be a light. We need to continue. I've said there's two things in church that, as a pastor, you have to continually undergird. You have to continually encourage people. You have to continually rethink and redo and repush. One of those is prayer meetings, having prayer time. It's one of those areas that's just, it's so spiritual that we have a tendency not to, not to put much emphasis on it. And it, you know, prayer meetings will start out good for a while, then maybe have a great attendance, and then it slowly wanes and people stop coming. So that sounds bad. It's just the way it is. And then soul winning, visitation, these areas that we're part of. It's one of those areas, as a pastor, there's many pastors out there today who've been in the ministry a long time who no longer have visitation soul winning time, because it's just a constant effort to reposition and re-encourage everyone to come out and visit and soul win. And so it's an area that we have to constantly encourage ourselves in. And as Heritage Baptist Church, we need to be reminded that the main job, the main commission of the church is to win people to Jesus. That everything else is secondary. Again, I enjoy fellowshipping. I enjoy everything else. But winning people to Jesus is primary. And let us remember that Heritage Baptist Church is to be a light in this community. That we are to be a light. Not just in being selfless and helping folks and being an encouragement to the city. In fact, we had the opportunity, if you go to the city park, we actually bought the nativity scene this year. They bought a new nativity scene. It's bigger. The other one was about to come apart. And so we bought that nativity scene for the park. It's a miracle that our park even has a nativity scene in it. And we hope that will continue. But we had the opportunity, and they called us and asked us if we might be willing to buy it, because there are some legal things there too, if a church buys it, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so we had the opportunity to do that and to be a blessing to our community, to try to be that light in the community. And I'm thankful that we have a nativity scene in the park. And by the way, it's that Jesus is the reason for the season. Say, how can Haslett have that in the park? Well, technically, it's on private property. They string it along that fence that's behind the park. That is private property. That's how they get around it. So I'm thankful they thought that way. Their thinking was, okay, how can we get that saying up? And so we want to continue to be an influence in the community, amen, to be a light. Amen? Amen? But notice what one light did as we lit one, but now look at what the light will do for the entire room. Amen. If all of us did our job, if all of us witnessed at work, if all of us obeyed the commandment of Jesus and were a light, imagine the influence it would have. I am telling you, folks, if all of us won somebody to the Lord, the program Jesus put together, the commission he put together, that each one reach one, will still win the entire world within 30 or 40 years. If everybody reached one and then reached another one and reached another one and reached another one, and their converts reached another one, it could still be done. His plan works. But we have to reach one. We have to reach out to those around us. It's not just about coming on Tuesday night and Tuesday morning and Saturday morning. It's about being a light every day. Amen. Every day. Monday morning, getting up, being a light to those around us. All right? Brother Cookie, about to get wax on you? This has been lit the longest. I want to appreciate you guys coming tonight. Let's sing, Send the Light. Let's do that. Ready? There's a call come ringing o'er the restless way. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Listen, everybody knows the chorus. Send the light, the blessed gospel. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us be a light. I am the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. And let us be a light. Amen? All right, we turn the lights back on, blow out the candles, and you're dismissed. Flinda, come play a little. We have Linda play a little something so it sounds like we're dismissing. Thank you guys for coming tonight.